Tuesday the 30th of December, Gimel Teves, Rabbi Danny Kirsch, Choosing Names.
I'd like to thank everybody for joining us this morning and the opportunity to share with you an event that happened in our family's lives a number of years ago. So when I was invited to speak to you this morning, I recalled an event that happened on the 31st of December. Now normally, of course, we're most interested in Hebrew dates, but as you hear from the story, it was a particularly appropriate moment. My wife went into labor on the 31st of December a number of years ago, and we arrived at the Royal Free Hospital, and there's an interesting little competition that goes on the 31st of December amongst hospitals in this neighborhood, and that is which hospital would give birth to the first child in the new non-Jewish year. And of course, as you get closer and closer to the 1st of January, it's very exciting, and the competition heats up, and apparently you get a picture in the Hammond High. It's all very exciting. Well, the good news for us was that my wife gave birth earlier on in the day, and we fortunately did not win that competition. We had a little concern of the methods of anesthetics that would be used late in the evening if it would be on the 31st of December. As you notice, even the doctors and the nurses sometimes have the chaims at that time. But be that as it may, the nurses then started discussing as to what a name we should give our child who's born on the 31st of December. Obviously, they have a great insight into what names we should be giving. And one of the midwives said, "We think you should call your child Noel." Now, we went for Moshe. And the reason we thought we went for Moshe, as you're going to hear in a few minutes, is because a year or so earlier, Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livroch, had passed away. There's a very big inyan to name after the Godel Hador, after the great Tzadikim. And we wanted to call our child Moshe, having been so inspired by Moshe Feinstein. However, now this is very important. This is our fourth child, Bli Ayin Hara. And we've had two girls and a boy thus far, and it's going to be relevant to the share I'm going to give. The Mael says, I hadn't told him the name I had in mind. The Mael says to me in preparation for the Mila, he says, "You know, there's a very big inyan to keep names in families. Have you discussed with your family yet the name you're planning on giving?" That's an interesting question. How strong is the obligation to keep names in families, and how strong is the obligation if the parents or grandparents have some say as the name of this child? We're certainly not going to listen to the nurses when they give suggestions of names, but shall we, or do we have any obligation, and what's the makor to follow any sort of seder in the naming of names of children? So I have a sefer here, Eitz HaBris, which I'm sure those many of you are aware of, and I want to share with you some of his insights onto how to go about the seder of ordering of names, and see also if it has a relevance to the day after Chanukah as well, if we can. He says as follows, "Hanoeg hamakubo b'kihilas Ashkenaz," the minhag which is accepted in Kihilas Ashkenaz, and there's going to be lots of minhagim, but we'll start with his introduction, is "Beschus kriyas Hashem," in deciding how you're going to give the name of the child, "who Shame ben Arishon," the first child that's born, "Shaykh le'aim," follows after the mother's side, says he. "The Shal ben Asheni le'av," and the second child, the second boy who's born, is called from the father's side. "The Shal shlishi le'aim v'chein halo b'sirogin," and then the third one to the mother, and so on and so forth. So this is our fourth child. So that's what we'll see. First of all, what's the makor for such a thing? Interesting enough. So I did a little bit of homework as to why it should be that there's a minhag that the mother side of the family gets to choose the name first. So I'll share with you an interesting thing in the Sedra in a week or two's time, that in Parshas Yisro, in a few weeks' time actually, when Moshe Rabbeinu, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, is about to be reunited with his family, his wife and his children, "Yikach Yisro Choshe Moshe et Tziporeshes Moshe Achashuvleh." And then after, when Yisro comes to meet Moshe Rabbeinu, brings his wife, "V'eshnei v'oneh," and she also brings the two sons, "Asher Shem ha'echod Gershom," the name of the first child was called Gershom. Why was he called Gershom? "Ki omar ger ha'yisi beretz nachriya." Moshe Rabbeinu's first child was called Gershom. Why? because I was a stranger in a land, in a strange land. The Shemar Echod, and the name of the second child, Eliezer. Why is he called Eliezer? Ki Elokei Ovi Be'ezri V'yatzilenu Mecheir Paro, because the father, my father, my God, was with me, he looked after me, and he saved me from the sword of Paro. First child is called Gershom because I was a stranger, and the second child is called Eliezer because I was saved from the sword of Paro. Question the Mephoshim ask is this the correct order? What chronologically happened? Moshe Rabbeinu Lechaira ran away from Mitzrayim, arrived in Midian, was saved by Yisro, looked after him, cared for him, married Yisro's daughter, and he called that child Kiyama Gea Yisi Beretz Nachria. I was a stranger in a strange land, referring to Midian. The second child is Eliezer. Why is he called Eliezer? Because when I was escaping from Mitzrayim, Paro tried to kill me. You remember the whole story when he came out to look after the Yid who was being killed and the Lashon Hara v'chulu v'chulu. And Paro tried to kill me, and I escaped from there. Vayatzilin Michael Paro. And I want to give my son a name reminding me of the great escape. But that was first. So I sort of had an interesting explanation, which was that's because Tzipora was involved in the naming of the first child. She said, because you were a stranger in a strange land, you met me. And therefore I want the first child to be a remembrance of the fact that had you not been here, you would have met me, and I want the first name, please. And the second name, even though chronologically it came first, applies to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that he was saved. There are those who argue with it, but it's an interesting insight. I saw in the notes where this minhag actually comes from, that you name after the girl's side first, and it seems as follows, that in some communities it was the custom for the father-in-law to give a very nice dowry to the young man when he was getting married. He's getting married to my daughter, I'll give him a very nice dowry and support him in learning for a few years. And as a result of that, perhaps the tradition has arisen that because the father-in-law has been so good to me, that the least I can do is the first child that I have, I'll say thank you to my father-in-law for supporting me and caring for me. Now, I'm not going to go into my family's history. I'm very grateful to my father-in-law for everything that he's done. But would I have any obligation to listen to my father-in-law because he supported me? Well, according to this, that's perhaps the reason for the minhag of the girl's name going first, and one suggestion from these pesukim which are here as well. I'll carry on with some of the other minhagim as well. But there are also other minhagim. It's not so straightforward that the first child gets named after the mother's side. There are also another number of other minhagim as well. Shashem ben Harishan Shaykh La'av. According to this minhag, the first child gets named from the father's side. The Chain Halab is secure again, then you go to the mother's side, then you go to the father's side. Where do we find an incident where you actually see some sort of Seyd in Chumash, that child A is from the father, child B is from the mother, etc., etc.? So they draw attention to a parsha of a few weeks ago, in Parshas Vayeshev. And there we see as follows by with Yehuda. Yehuda says, "Vayhi ba'eis ahi vayered Yehuda me'eis echov." And it was at the particular time. This is also very relevant to the whole mice with Yosef. And Yehuda married a woman there. Her name was Shua, etc., etc. V'tahe v'teled bein, and she conceived and she gave birth to a child, a son. V'yikra eshemor er, and he gave the name of the son Er. Then it says Vataya Oid, and she conceived again, Vatelid Bain, Vatikra Ishmaoinan. And the second child, the Pasuk says, she gave the name Oinan. Now, the Mephoshim discussed this in detail because the names of these children are also very interesting. There's a prophetic vision, Nebuch, of what could be happening into this family as well. Also, just by the way, the third child, it says Vatosis over Vatelid Ben Vatikra, she called the name of the child Eshemo Shela. So can you learn out from that there's a Seder, because the first one he called, the second one she called, but the third one she called. V'haya b'kziv b'lilzar oisar, and she was in a place called Kziv when the child was born. Okay, there's a lot of discussion here, and now's not the time to go into it. Mit Hashem, when you have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you can discuss and debate who gets first. But according to that opinion, which suggests at least there's an inclination there of some sort of seder, that he called the first child and she called the second child, Efsher, here you've got an interesting inclination here. He carries on. And it says, another minhag is that Shmos Habonim La'av V'Abonos La'em, that the father gets to call the boys and the mother gets to call the girls. It's another minhag, interesting. And just by the way, if they have twins, how do you decide which one goes first? And he brings the halacha, it goes after, if they say twin boys, whichever minhag you follow, it goes after the mila, gets the name of whichever the minhagim which you follow. So you see already, Baruch Hashem, there's many, many different minhagim in Klal Yisrael, and it's a very wonderful example of how a person needs to have the local Orthodox rabbi to tell them exactly what their minhag is and how to behave and to ensure. So here's my situation, just to follow my family pedigree here. Leon Hari had two girls. My first daughter I called from my father-in-law's side, Baruch Hashem, after a grandparent. My second child, coming up to my side now. The third child is a boy, it's called Avram, after my father-in-law's father. And now we're up to Leon Hari, our fourth child. And the Mal says, check into family names and see, maybe there's some family names here. So according to the mathematics, it's now onto the father's side and not necessarily onto the mother's side. And what we're going to have to look at and see whether there's any continuation of this. Interestingly enough, there's a famous miser with the Ramban. The Ramban had a very choshev and mechutin. The Ramban's mechutin was no less than Rabbeinu Yonah. And the Ramban had the following miser happened with the Ramban. The Ramban's story is that here it goes as follows. The daughter-in-law of the Ramban, which is Ashes Rebbe Shlaima, the daughter of his son, the wife of his son Shlaima, and she was the daughter of Rabbeinu Yonah. So that means the Ramban's son married the daughter of Rabbeinu Yonah. The Haisa Muraberis, and she was pregnant, and she had a son, Baruch Hashem. So the Ramban had an enikel, and was also the enikel of Rabbeinu Yonah. And the Ramban and his Sfardim, we'll come on to Sfardim in a minute, the Sfardim have a tradition to name after living people, as is well known, and we'll look into that in just a few minutes' time. So according to the Rambam's tradition, Baruch Hashem, he's alive and well, the Rabbeinu Yonah passed away very recently, according to the story, so the Rambam had the opportunity to call to encourage his son Shlomo to call his grandson Moshe. However, the Ramban said to his son, I think you should call the child after the Rabbeinu Yonah. And he said, because we have a principle, Vazorach HaShemesh, the sun sets and the sun rises. The sun's just set from one of the Gedalia Ador, the Rabbeinu Yonah. Call your son after the Rabbeinu Yonah. Mit Hashem, a new sun will rise, will come a Gadol Ador as well. So you have interesting historic evidence of some potential friction within families. The Rambam Paskin, no, I want to make sure that it's named after the person who's just passed away, even though it seemed to have been in that family, the tradition was to keep names continuing. The whole concept, by the way, of naming after dead people, naming after alive people, is a very, very interesting one as well. And the difference between Minhag and Ayin Hara, I looked into this a little bit, and this is an enormous subject and highly recommended long-term reading for people who really want to. They quote the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin tells a story about Rabbi Nosson Omer. Rabbi Nosson says, this is in Mem Zayin and Omer base. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Pam Achas Halachli Lekarcha Yom. I was once in a certain place. Bosi Isha Achas Lefana. And a woman came in front of me, Shemola Benoi Rishon, and she circumcised her first son, Vameis Nemuch, passed away. The Shani and the second child was circumcised with mace and passed away. Shlishi Hiviyosu Lefonai, they brought the third child in front of me, and I saw Shahai Edom, he was very, very red. Amati Lo, so I said to her, Bitsi, my daughter, Antaini Lo, wait, Ad Shiyivlo Bodom, until the blood has been absorbed into the skin. and she followed my advice. In other words, she waited till this was to be performed, and she gave the child the bris. And she called this child Nosan Habavli al Shmi. She called the child Nosan Habavli after me, the rabbinic medical advisor, in gratitude for the advice that I'd given her. So they bring here a very interesting example that you see here in Shas, that people would name people out of gratitude, out of appreciation for people who are alive and well. And he brings another Maisa as well, referring to this concept. And it seems to be this is one of the examples which was brought for the Sfari Minhag to do it. Also, in the time of Yehuda Nossi, it seems that there many people were called after Tanoim and Amorim who are alive. Those who argue against it say that was because of who those people were. But possibly in subsequent generations, you don't have such great individuals of the level of Yehuda Nossi, you don't have the level of the Tanaim Amoraim, and therefore maybe we shouldn't have the minhag of naming after living people. The Sefer Hasidim says that even though we see in the non-Jewish world that they name after living people, he writes, he says, but and no harm befalls them, says the Sefer Hasidim, but we're not going to do it, and our minhag, he says, is not to do it. I saw a fascinating side from the Ashkenazim as to why it is that they don't name after living relatives, and that is because there's a mitzvah of kibud av v'em, which is a strange one, which is as follows. Father Chaim has a son, let's say we call the son David, and then he had another son, and he says, oh, I want to call this one after me, I'll call him Chaim. Every time David calls out his brother Chaim, Is he belittling the kavod of his father in the midst of kibud av v'em? Because when he says Chaim, come here. Oh, I don't mean Reb Chaim. I mean Chaim. Interesting point. But the minhag Ashkenaz is very strong not to name after living people, as is well known. Whereas the minhag Sfad is yes to name after living people. So I haven't yet come to a conclusion as to what to do in my difficult situation. Where my obligations lie. How far I have to go. Interestingly enough, there is a discussion about people who are rather inspired by different life situations, and they want to give names not after necessarily a person, but after a life experience. I had a very strange event that happened. I was staying in a friend of mine's flat in Eretz Yisrael, and he said to me, "Would you please allow the cleaner in?" I said, "How will I know who the cleaner is?" He said, "The cleaner's name's Egda." I said, Egda? What's his name? Egda. So she says, well, actually, he tells me this is a true story. She was actually born in the back of a bus. and as you know, that the Israeli bus service is called Eged. And her parents, she lived and be well, decided to call their daughter Egda. Okay. Interesting enough, and nowadays many people in Israel in particular have an inclination to give names to their children after events. There's a Medrash Rabbah. There's a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Noach, and Parshas Noach is going to be brought again later, which tells us as follows: Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oimar Harishonim Al Yedei Shehayim Mishtamshim Baruch Hakodesh. The Rishonim, because they were able to connect or avail themselves of Ruach HaKodesh, Hayumaitsiyim the Shem Hamorah, they were able to give names according to events which took place. Rabbi Shimon Kantil continues and says, Aval Onu She'ein Onu Mishtamshim B'Ruach HaKodesh, but we who don't have that level of Ruach HaKodesh, we're unable to easily call upon Ruach HaKodesh, Maitsiyim the Shem Avoseinu, we choose names which are family names. A little controversial point, and it's worth speaking to local Orthodox Rav, of course, to understand it, but nevertheless, this seems to be our tradition. So what do I do? You know, how do I decide? Interesting enough, the halacha also continues about if you follow a certain seder, but you have live relatives and you have dead relatives, and it doesn't go according to the seder, do you interrupt the Seder? So if you say mother, father, but it comes up to a to the father's time, but Nebuch, the mother's lost a relative, do you change the order in order to make sure that names continue? Because there's a very, very big chus for the neshama to have the name afterwards. Also, it's brought that part of the reason we call after the gedolim who've passed away is it's because it's a zechus for the child to have their name falling after the gadol. So do you break the seder in order to do so? And it seems to be that although most of this is minhagim, nevertheless, even those who say that there is a seder, that minhag is broken in order to ensure that names are continued if somebody has recently passed away and their name wants to be continued. So we chose the name Moshe after Moshe Feinstein. The Moral says you've got to keep names in families, there's a seder. It was my turn in the order, and I turned to my shver and I said, just out of interest, do we have any Moishes in the family? And he says, yes, I had a brother called Moshe who was Nifta, and I don't think there were anybody was called after him as far as I knew at that time. And Baruch Hashem, we were able to mimikai both of them. This is our child after Moshe Feinstein, and we were able to call after this Moshe. I think had passed away in Auschwitz. So everybody was very happy. Interestingly enough, Srichim Zahiris Yisera, a person should be exceptionally careful, lo l'riv b'beis ha-yaledes, Eidus Hashem, that there shouldn't be any fights, cholila v'chas, in any families over the naming of children, ki az chas v'sholom, sakona l'vlad, because if so, it would be chas v'sholom, the dangerous thing for the child is brought down in the safe, cholila, we shouldn't live. So it's certainly not worth any machlokasim, and all the rabbonim who I've spoken to say, even if you do follow in Hogim, stay away from machlokas, and that's a more choshev way to start a child's life. Anyway, choosing a name, as we can see, is an extraordinarily important thing, and it gives us some indication in terms of the Sedras and in terms of Chanukah as well. Being so soon after Chanukah, we want to keep the radiance of the light of Chanukah continuing even after Chanukah. We know that the Maisa with Noach, three names of people, Shem, Chom, v'Yefes, who came out of the Teva, and we know about the Maisa which took place, and the curse which happened to Chom, and the Bracha which was given to Yefes and to Shem. So Yaft Elokim the Yefes, Kodesh Baruch Hu should broaden the borders of Yefes, Vayishkan Bar Leshem, but he needs to dwell in the oil of Shem. What's interesting is that the names of the children, one of the names of the children is called Shem. That means he called the name Shem. And Chazal point out that he followed the Seder. Avram Avinu, of course, comes as a direct descendant of Shem. And Yovan is a direct descendant of Yefes. And Mephoshim explained, because what Avram Avinu his Hashkofet Zechayim, the Torah, teaches us as follows. When I call somebody name, I'm saying to them, what is your name? What does it mean to give something in a name? And what are you giving in a name by Noach when he gave the name Yefes? Yefes means something's externally beautiful. A Shem means exactly what is it? Avram Avinu is a great-grandchild of Shem because Avram Avinu's Hashkofas Ochaim is, don't tell me how it looks. Don't tell me whether it's comforted. I want to know, is it a house? First and foremost, don't tell me about the pillars and it's a beautiful green and lovely furniture. No, I want to know exactly what it is, first of all. It's a house. Ah. Now we define it's a house, then we can talk how beautiful it was. And part of the battle which continues to this very day between Yovan, who's an ancestor of Yefes, and Shem, Avram Avinu, Klal Yisrael, ancestor of Shem, is the battle between definition of what something is, which is what a name is all about. A name defines. Don't tell me about all the superficiality. First and foremost, I want to know what it is. Interesting enough, when you go to a Rebbe, they'll ask you always, what's your name? And doing a little homework as to trying to understand people's names is a very interesting thing. Shortly after I got married, I went to see the Boston Rebbe for a bracha, and asked him for a bracha for my family, and I wrote down a fiddle on the names, and he's going through the names, he says, are you sure that's a name? Are you sure that's the right name? That's that Ruach HaKodesh that the Rebbes have. Interesting enough, dealing with Balei Tshuva, where they think they have certain names in their families, and trying to prove whether or not that really is the name, and spelling is an extraordinary event. And very often I encourage people, when they're not exactly sure the spelling, to actually research, if they're named after the people, to research in the Ksuva, to go back to the cemeteries where great-grandparents are buried, and check out exactly the name. A little Maisa Shahai that I had recently, two interesting stories. One of them was that I had a guy who wanted to check out the family name, and he went back to Cape Town to find out his family name. This boy thought he was Yisrael and thought his grandfather's name was spelt in such and such a way. He was in Cape Town. I said, go to the Beis Olam and find out your grandfather's name. He calls me from the cemetery in Cape Town and he says, it says my grandfather's a Cohen. That's a good halacha. I mean, Ben Achaben, he's in a cemetery. I think his Gemara knows it. He's in a cemetery. He phones me up from the cemetery, which are issues, modern phones, and he says, it says here my grandfather's a Cohen. And how's the name spelt? Yeah, we clarified that. And it has the two hands, and he's buried in a certain part of the cemetery. Does that mean I'm a Cohen? I said, well, when you come back, we'll talk about it and we'll discuss it. And tackle, we went and we investigated an amazing story. His grandfather was Nifter when his father was a year old, and his father was brought up by a non-religious aunt as her child, Mamish. And later on, she said, told her that this is the story, your father had been Nifter, but she Mamish, and they consider this aunt like her parents, but halachically and biologically, they're not. And now this boy's become from. He finds out that his father, Tucker, was a Cohen, and his grandfather was a Cohen. And interesting enough, the first Aliyah, La Torah, he got as Cohen was Parshas Nosa, after having doing a lot of homework, which happens to have Birchus Cohen in it. Another interesting event that I had recently was when one of my Talmidim comes from Jamaica, interesting enough. Born and bred in Jamaica. And it comes from a family, how they ever came into Jamaica, interesting family, I think from Holland or from originally from Spain, and the family for many generations. And he married an English girl from Hampstead, Baruch Hashem, married, living, lovely children, lovely family. And her father started doing, many years later, some investigations into the family tree. She found out that his great-grandfather had been in Jamaica. Anyway, both of them went back to the Beis Olam, and they found that his great-grandfather and her great-grandfather were buried mummies just a couple of miles from each other. So you find out some interesting things in going back into families' histories and trying to find out much more about it. Just very quickly about names, and then I'll share with you a thought. I remember Meister of the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, when I phoned up Elchanan Cohen yesterday in Manchester just to check a couple of the facts, I hope I've got it right, that he came to London for particular treatment, and he was looked after by a Harley Street doctor who wasn't Jewish. And at the end of it, they wanted to pay this Harley Street doctor, and the Harley Street doctor refused money, so the story goes. So he says, well, what would you like? He said, I'd like a blessing from the rabbi. The non-Jewish doctor wants a blessing. So apparently Rosh Hashiva asked him what his name was. I don't know, Richard, the daughter of Mary, the son of Mary, I'm not exactly sure he was. Having asked him what his non-Jewish name was, his English name was, he gave him a blessing. That was the way he wanted to have his payment. Anyway, let's go back to the subject. So the importance of names and the insurance of names is because names actually define what a thing is and define its purpose as well. And this, of course, was learnt from Adam Arishan. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu named Adam Arishan, when he gave him a name, the name Adam is a definition actually of from whence he came, because Adam Arishan himself came from the Adama. And it's interesting because the Mephoshim point out, when Adam himself was obligated to give names, Vayikra Adam Shemus L'chol Abahim L'Oif HaShemayim, Adam Arishan gave names to everything that had been created, and how did he know how to give the names? So Chazal say that Adam Arishan, when he gave names to everything, he gave it by basis of what its definition was, exactly how it worked, and exactly what its function was. So when he gave the name of the animal Aryeh, it wasn't just a borrowed terms, it was a description of what it was, what its mahus was, and how it was to function in the world. And they explain that's why Aryeh is Aleph Reish Yud Hey, that he saw it as if to say as the king, the melech, the leader, in the jungle, according to many, and why Hamor is called donkey, etc., etc. There's so much to talk about it. Just to share with you one final thought, since a name is so essential and it describes the Mahus, some explain in the battle which took place between Yaakov and the angel of Esav, the Sar Shel Esav, many explain it's actually not the Sar Shel Esav in its Mahus, but it's also representative of the Yetzirah. So the non-Jewish Yetzirah, Sar Shel Esav, turns to Yaakov and says, what's his name? So Yaakov says, this is my name, and says, your name's not going to be that anymore because your mahus has changed. once your mahus has changed, therefore I've got to give you another name. Now Kisarisa, you fought and you've won. So Yaakov Avinu says, so what's your name? So he says, Lamed Tishol Lishmi, why do you need to know my name? May I explain that the reason as Bali Musa said, why do you need to know my name, is because really I'm the Yetzirah, I don't really have a name. I don't really have a name. Why do you need to know my name? When you realize that I don't really exist in the essence, I'm just here as the Yetzirah, you realize that I don't have a name, I'm not really here. Mir Tashem, everybody should choose names correctly and be given the Siyata Dishmaya to be able to choose the right names. And Mir Tashem, no machlechu should come, and everybody should have good bench.